Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor and tell him this is your day. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:10, please. Let's read this together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. You know, people just read this over sometimes, but I'm telling you, this is powerful. Finally, come on, get this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the what? Whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay. This is an eternal broadcasting system test to each and every one. Did you put on the full armor of God today? Don't answer me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. That means trickery. So if you didn't put on the full armor of God, are you able to stand against his tricks? So you may be being tricked and you don't even know it, do you? So if you're going to battle, do you need to put on armor? Amen. And are you not called to battle? Amen. So this is a test from the Spirit to you now. Did you do what he asked you to do? So if you did what he asked you to do, now listen, don't get upset. Don't get too convicted, but get convicted. Because there's a battle going on, and you need to be dressed for war. Don't let guilt beat you up, but you need to be dressed for war. You know, so many people are saying, oh, Lord, I want you to use me. He says, you can't even get dressed. Oh, Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. He says, you can't even get dressed. How can I use you if you can't get dressed? He can't send you out there naked. You'll bring shame to yourself and him. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So in other words, your fight, your battle is with the unseen, isn't it? Amen. It's not with the seen, it's with the unseen. So if you don't get dressed with the full armor of God, the enemy is going to trick you. Easily trick you. He knows that if you're not obedient to being dressed every day with the full armor of God, that you are not disciplined nor consistent. Now, you may love God, but he loves you more than you love him. And by him loving you so much, he's saying, listen, you need to get dressed with my armor. If you want to be a warrior for me, if you want to be a soldier in my military, if you want to be a survivor of the battle that's going on and not a casualty, you need to get dressed with the full armor of God. Every morning I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, dress me with your armor. Dress me with your presence, your glory, your love, your compassion, your mercies, your grace, your truth and righteousness, your peace, joy, faith, sword of the Spirit, cloak of humility, armor of light, and divine nature. I ask him to dress me. Now, of course, I go a little bit further than what this says here. So here it is. He says, 13, therefore take up the what? Whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand the evil day, and having do all to what? That's why people don't stand sometimes. That's why they get easily offended. That's why they get manipulated. That's why money is their God. Because they're not getting dressed and prepared for war or battle. He said, stand, having therefore girded your what? Waist with the what? With the what? Truth. So if you got a pair of pants on, you don't have a belt, you know what happens? They fall. Hello. Did you ever see these kids walking around with their pants half down? They don't have the truth. Hallelujah. Therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the what? Breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. That means praying in tongues. That is the seventh part of the full armor of God. Many people don't realize that. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That is called, there are seven parts of the full armor of God. Seven means complete and perfect. It is the number of God. And the seventh part is praying in the Spirit. So every day you pray in the Spirit, you get dressed with the full armor of God, you have relationship with the Lord. See, if you start your day in prayer, you'll end up in victory, no matter what you're going through. Listen, the devil meets you every morning with a list of things to do. Do this, do that, do this, got to get at work, got to make lunch, got to do this. Every morning, as soon as you get up, there's the flesh creature saying, come on, man, you need, come on, let's get going, you're going to be late for work, man, you got to do this, you got to do, don't remember, don't forget this. You need to shut him up and go pray. You need to get dressed with the full armor of God. See, these are called wise virgins or foolish ones. How many of y'all want to be a wise one? Well, there are foolish ones who think that just calling out in the name of Jesus is going to rescue them every time. Well, see, Jesus does this. He says, come and learn from me. When we called on him, he granted us mercy and he released grace to us. And he says, now it's time to learn. Because we have a saying here, if you don't learn, you'll what? You'll burn. You'll get burned again by the devil. The devil will use you to burn somebody else. Or you can eternally burn. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Turn to Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Psalm 15. Everybody there? Psalm 15. And we'll start at verse 1. We'll read this together, please. Lord, who may abide in your holy tabernacle, and who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. These are characteristics of a divine warrior. Come on, grab hold of this. These are characteristics. This is the character of a divine warrior. Amen. He walks upright. In other words, he pleases God. He works righteousness. He speaks truth in his heart. He knows the truth. He doesn't backbite with his tongue. He puts guard over it. He doesn't do evil. He doesn't take a reproach against his friend. He's faithful. But he does hate evil in that in whose eyes are a vile person he despises. But he honors those who fear the Lord. In other words, he fellowships with them. He swears to his own hurt. In other words, he'd rather be hurt himself. In other words, he gives his life. He'd rather take the blow than somebody else take it. Are you with me? And he doesn't change. He doesn't use his money for usury, for bribes, or for selfish gains. And he's not moved. because these are characteristics of a divine warrior. Anybody want to be a divine warrior? Go to Revelation 7. Divine warrior. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Let's read this. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in the white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on a throne will dwell among them. They shall never hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. This is an area where a divine warrior has undivided loyalty. Undivided loyalty to the throne of God. A divine warrior is attached to the throne of God. He has undivided loyalty. He understands what's going on at the throne of God. He has undivided loyalty to the throne of God, their king, and is obedient to the counsel of the Lord all the way through. This is a divine warrior. Undivided loyalty to the throne of God and their king, and obedient to the counsel of the Lord. In Malachi chapter 2. The Lord is raising up divine warriors. It is a time for the divine warriors to get positioned for war. In Malachi chapter 2. And in verse 5. Is everybody there? Malachi 2, 5. My covenant is with him, one of life and peace. And I give them to him that he might what? Fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and his justice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and iniquity, and turned many away from iniquities. This is a divine warrior. He is a witness of the covenant. He is a promoter of truth. And he's a retainer of the fear of the Lord. I want to say this again. He's a witness of the covenant. He's a promoter of the truth. And he's a retainer of the fear of the Lord. He also carries a fresh word from the throne. Is everybody with me? He carries a what? Fresh word from the throne of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. A divine warrior. Second Peter chapter 1. In verse 2. Second Peter 1 verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Through what? Through lust. A divine warrior are defenders of his grace. In other words, that is his grace, meaning his plan. It is the plan of God. And the plan of God, in other words, his plan is to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. So grace is a representation of God's plan for you. A divine warrior is a defender of God's plan or his grace. He's an expresser of God's divine power. And he expresses God's power by overcoming. Has everybody got that? He expresses God's power by casting out devils. He doesn't take no garbage. Fear. The only fear he carries is the fear of the Lord. There is no fear. It doesn't mean he won't be attacked, but he does not let fear have dominion over him. And the divine nature is manifested through him or her so that the world may see it. Is everybody with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A divine warrior. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's read this, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. A divine warrior never gives up. Never gives up. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we are seers of the unseen. A divine warrior is a seer of the unseen and a penetrator of darkness. He is a seer of the unseen and a penetrator of darkness. Ezekiel chapter 21, a divine warrior. Y'all all right? Are you loyal to the throne? Praise God. Are you a servant to the anointing? Ezekiel 21, verse 9. Ezekiel 21, verse 9. In verse 9, would you read it with me, please? Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened and also polished, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Should we then make mirth? It despises the scepter of my son, and it does all wood. And he has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and it is polished. It is given into the hand of the what? Under the hand of the what?
Slayer.
The slayer. A divine warrior is a slayer of unrighteousness. Cry and wail, son of man. For it will be against my people, against all princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh, because it is a testing. And what if the sword despises even the scepter? The scepter shall be no more, says the Lord God. You therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword do double damage. It is a sword that slays, the sword that slays the great men. that enters their private chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, and the heart may melt, that the heart may melt, and many may stumble. Ah, it is made bright. It is grass for the slaughter. Swords at the ready. Thrust right. Set your blade. Thrust left. Wherever your edge is ordered. I also will beat my fists together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. Divine warriors are slayers of the wicked and of unrighteousness. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. You still want to be a divine warrior? Hallelujah. What's that song? We eat the head of giants. Praise God. We what? We cut off the giant's head. We
eat giants for our bread.
Oh, we eat giants for our bread. Hallelujah. Because we're divine warriors. We're slayers of the wicked. Praise God. Psalm 18, verse 36. Verse 36. Let's read this together. You have enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and have what? Overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for battle, and you have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and cast them out like dirt into the streets. This is a divine warrior. This is not soulish ministry, my brothers and sisters. You cannot allow emotion to lead you or feelings to mislead you. You must stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's a difference between compassion. There's a time for compassion. But then there's a time to battle. And in this battle, God is looking for divine warriors that are able to leave themselves and fight in the spirit. It is a time where divine warriors are being raised and positioned because what is coming? We are pursuers of evil. We are relentless to overtake our enemies. We are consistent in battle and disciplined to death. I'm going to repeat that so you can write it. We are pursuers of evil, relentless to overtake them. Pursuers of evil, relentless to overtake them, consistent in battle, and disciplined to death. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah! Praise God. Did you pull your sword out real quick? Second Timothy chapter 2. Let's read 1 through 4. Let's read this together, please. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a what? Hallelujah. These divine warriors are discerners of the faithful. They know those who are faithful. They're discerners of the faithful. And not bound by space or time of this fear. Ooh. They are discerners of the faithful and not bound by space and time of this fear. In other words, they do not allow themselves to be entangled in the affairs of this world. They are free from that. They have severed the emotional attachments of this world and are able to go, leave, change, do anything the Lord wants with no hesitation. This is a divine warrior. Romans 8. There is no but ministry in a divine warrior. In other words, when he asks you to do something, you don't say but. Remember, we are the head, not the tail. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. A divine warrior hates the flesh. Hates it. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So you're not looking at the arena of mortality. You are looking at the arena of immortality. You know you're already eternal. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now listen, you live according to the flesh, you will die. You got to understand this. Why? Because you're going to allow the enemy to kill you. Does everybody get this? You allow the enemy to kill you. If you live according to the flesh. And verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God and of children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God or divine warriors. Because they know in this divine purpose, they are there to promote it. Divine warriors are there in the arena to make sure that the divine purpose of God is put in action. Has everybody got it? And they carry a divine message, express a divine nature, and manifest divine power because they are divine warriors. They live according to the Spirit. In other words, they live according to the eternal purpose or the eternal presence of God. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. A divine warrior. You know, this may sound strange what I'm about to say, but a divine warrior does not take prisoners. When the Lord told Saul to go out and kill, he said, don't take prisoners. Kill everything. Saul disobeyed. God had to remove Saul from office. And he put David in there because David did whatever God said. He said, kill, he killed. Families, children, animals, whatever it was. Now, there was a purpose behind this because at that period of time, there were offsprings also, and they were promoting Satan's kingdom. Is everybody okay? This is when the time of the giants were around and so forth. That's why the Philistines were there. They were actually tribes of the offsprings of demonic forces. And God was killing them. Every one of them. So they would not reproduce. Does everybody understand that? That's why a divine warrior doesn't take prisoners. Does everybody understand that? He goes to destroy the powers of darkness. He doesn't pet evil. He doesn't compromise. He doesn't justify. He hates the presence of evil. Has everybody got it? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Well, that might sound strange to you, but a divine warrior is always joyful. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, we just killed a bunch of demons. Praise God. You know, we just wiped out a whole area, a flock of demonic forces and rescued souls. Praise be to God. You know, my greatest joy. Okay, second greatest joy. I like when the Lord visits me. I love it. There isn't anything greater than when the Lord visits you and in his presence or reveals something to you. In other words, you know that you've just been touched and God's revealed himself to you. And you just, man, there isn't anything greater. But for me, my greatest joy here besides that is to watch a life change. To me, that is the greatest miracle. It's not just about watching somebody get healed. For me, it's because so many people get healed and then they go back getting sick again. Or they get delivered and they go back, open themselves up to demonic forces again. The greatest thing for me is to watch a life change, and it changes permanently. And then they fight to maintain that new life of Christ, no longer going back, but going forward. They become a holder of the eternal net, the net that's going to scoop up many souls. They bear much fruit. They don't take no garbage. They become bold in the Lord. And they fight for what's right. And they fight not trying to save their life, but somebody else's. These are divine warriors. See, for me, the greatest joy is to watch a life change. And to watch the hand of God move in their life. You know, so many times we're asking God to change us, but we're not giving him the time to change us. Oh, change me as I drive through. He doesn't work that way. He works in a way where he teaches. He trains you up. You know, freedom is learned and trust is earned. Amen? So God isn't going to trust someone that hasn't learned from him. God isn't going to trust someone who hasn't gone through the testing and the training and the hardship. He isn't going to trust someone that he gives truth to and they call it a common thing. Truth is not common. It's eternal. It's precious. And it's holy. And it must be that way to a divine warrior. Has everybody got this? They are not only defenders of grace, which is, but they are promoters of the truth. They will die for truth. Truth is holy. It's holy. It's not just truth. People take it as a common thing. Well, the truth will set you free. Oh, really? I know a lot of people that know the truth and they're not free because they count it as a common thing. To them, it really isn't holy. It's not eternal. But to a divine warrior, it is holy and it is eternal. It is precious and it's not to be trampled. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. This scripture needs to be so highlighted. Everybody read the scripture with me in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Listen, everybody here at some way or another has been offended. One way or another. We've been hurt by people. We've been hurt by churches. We've been hurt by pastors. We've been hurt by whatever it may be. You've been hurt by your boss. Maybe you got ripped off. Maybe you didn't get paid. Maybe you didn't get, somebody lied to you. Whatever it is. But let me share something with you. That should not affect your fellowship with the truth. Has everybody got it? You know, it's like, get over it. It's time to grow up and mature and become that divine warrior that God has called you to be. Like, get over it, man. You know? Let it go. See, that's why, that means you're involved in entanglements and affairs of the world. And you cannot be a divine warrior because you're so busy trying to lick your wounds. Hello? You pay more attention to your wounds than fellowship with the light and the truth. And that's got to stop. Hello? It's got to stop. So a relationship didn't work out. Whoopee. You got rescued. It was called divine intervention. Yes, but God told me. Well, obviously he didn't tell you. You heard wrong. That was your desire that told you. Listen, it's time to let these things go. It's time to no longer be childish, but grow up. God is raising up divine warriors. Let me tell you, when you stand before the Lord and that day at his throne, nothing's going to matter. But what he says to you. Hello. The only thing, you're going to be standing there before him going, what's he going to say to me? Is he going to say, I was pleased with what you've done? He doesn't have to tell you he loves you. He already told you that when he died on the cross. It's going to be like standing in a pure glass of a mirror. And everything that we've entangled ourselves with that's not under the blood will be exposed. My brothers and my sisters and fellow warriors of the eternal kingdom, we are entering and coming closer and closer to the point of no return. We cannot lose sight of that. It's getting closer and closer. We are getting to a place where there'll be a point of no return where you won't be concerned about work anymore. You won't be concerned about money anymore because money won't be able to do anything. The only thing that you will have is the pure heart of Christ and the purpose and the desire to knock on every neighbor's door and say, Jesus is coming. And he's coming first through his spirit, through the body. Then he will physically come, but he will not touch the earth. And he will call his soldiers off the earth. It's going to be a divine rescue. And then the wrath of God will hit this earth. But you are not accounted for the wrath. And you don't want to miss that divine rescue. The ones that missed were called foolish virgins. We don't want to miss it. Amen? So whatever it is that you're still struggling with, deal with it, sever it, get rid of it, and get in position. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From what? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word or his truth is not in us. Go to chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, so many people don't see that. Please highlight that. He who does the what? Will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. And the will of God is to practice righteousness. Yes. So a divine warrior has fellowship with the light. He is a forsaker of the lust of the world. And he's focused on eternal things. John 12. John chapter 12. Verse 18. Behold my servant in whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. Hallelujah! I'm glad you finally told me. Hey, you guys need to go there, I'm telling you. Come on, a divine warrior follows a shepherd. All right, I repent. I really was getting into that now. Where is he at? Hallelujah. Whew. He got lost. I'm back. John chapter 12. Sorry, I went to Matthew 12. Oh, it sounded so good. Whew. All right. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. You'll need it to follow me, let me tell you. John, is everybody at John 12 yet? Would you mind turning to verse 24 then? Somewhere around there. Verse 24. Yeah. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces what? Much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him what? Follow me. Oh, wait a minute. Let him what? They say, believe me or follow me. And where I am, there my what? Servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Let me tell you something about a divine warrior. He is where the Lord is. Has everybody got it? A divine lawyer, warrior, is where. Shubababachrachia. A divine warrior is where the Lord is. Praise God. A divine warrior stays drunk. Praise God. Go to Luke 14, please. Somewhere in the Bible. I know I said Luke, right? Luke 14. Whew. Hey, this is like going to a dinner in a theater, you know? You get dinner and a movie, right? I'm there now. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Luke 14, 26. And if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my divine warrior. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my divine warrior. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and what? Count the cost. Whether he has enough to finish it. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? A divine warrior never counts the enemies that are coming against him because he knows that all of heaven is behind him. He is never outnumbered. Does everybody got this? A divine warrior knows that he is never outnumbered. Numbered. Glory. Verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And I want to close at Ezekiel 33. Are you okay? I don't want to hear okay. Are you blessed? Are you highly favored? Are you a divine warrior? Praise God. Ezekiel 33. In verse 7, would you read it with me? So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Now, this is something very important because a divine warrior is connected with Israel. A divine warrior is connected with Israel. He knows about Israel. He knows that it is the Lord's land. He prays for Israel. He prays for the Jewish people. He intercedes. He knows that the eternal kingdom, Jerusalem, is where the king is. And he will plant and establish his kingdom on earth in Jerusalem. He knows that he is a watchman. Divine warriors are watchmen. They are sensitive to the things that are going on. They are seers. They are hearers. And they are speakers of the truth. They call those things that are not as though they are, according to the will of God, and not according to the dictates of their own heart. And verse 8, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. See, a divine warrior knows the seriousness of this. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you shall say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? But when he speaks to the house of Israel, he also speaks to the body of Christ. And he also speaks to the arena where there is the wicked and the unjust, or the unrighteous. The unrighteous are the ones that God, they knew righteousness. The wicked are the ones who've never known righteousness. A divine warrior is a watchman. They stand strong. They're loyal to the throne and it's in their king. They are overcomers of evil. And they live their lives to death. They're not entangled here. Their hope is in the eternal realm, to live eternally with the eternal king and to see his face. A divine warrior. The calling from the throne of God is come. Come, divine warriors, and get positioned. Come, divine warriors, for it is time. Come, divine warriors, pull your swords. Come, divine warriors, battle is at hand. Warning, warning, warning. Warning, warning, warning. It is time. Stand for what is truth, and to God be all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.